everybody. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Welcome to The Indicator, where every day we get a kind of shameful, scandalous joy from watching the mistakes of famous people. Celebrities. We love it when people fail. No, what we do here is we tell short stories about the economy. And today's short story is about the biggest investment mistakes ever made by three famous people.
We took three examples from a new book called Big Mistakes. It is by Michael Batnick. He is research director at Ritholtz Wealth Management.
Yeah, and instead of writing a book about the best ideas from the best investors...
Which sounds kind of boring.
Yeah, Michael wrote a book about the worst ideas from the best investors. What did you want to get across?
Well, I think that investing is really hard for everybody, whether you're managing a $100 billion hedge fund or just your 401k. It's really hard for all of us, and we all face different challenges, whatever you're doing, whatever your methodology is, or buy and hold, or trade, whatever it is, it's difficult. And I think for somehow, people still underestimate how difficult it is.
After the break, three famous people, three massive investment mistakes, and the lessons that we can learn from all of them.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator. Support also comes from Alarm.com. Every day, millions of people trust Alarm.com's smart security technology to make their homes and businesses smarter, safer, and more efficient. Find out more at alarm.com/indicator.
Mark Twain, novelist, one of the giants of American literature, author of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Twain also invested a lot of money throughout his life, though, and he is the first person whose big investment mistake Michael told us about. And actually, in the case of Twain, it was more than one.
Well, he made every mistake in the book. He was addicted to entrepreneurs. He would fall for anything. He would back any idea. He dabbled in stocks and silver mines and gold mines, and he just, everything he touched went south.
Twain was like an early version of a venture capitalist. He invested his money in a bunch of new kind of faddish ideas, except he was terrible at it. He put his money into milk powder extract, railroad stocks, a startup insurance company. They were all disasters.
Yeah, and the one big idea that he chose not to put his money into, the idea that he passed up when he had a chance, Alexander Graham Bell's telephone.
Oh.
Which would have made Twain a fortune.
But Twain's biggest mistake, Michael says, might have been throwing a lot of money at this big typesetting business. And it had to do with this machine that Twain hoped would be used by newspapers and publishing companies. And Twain kept investing more and more and more money in this typesetting business, even as its losses were just piling up.
And his biggest mistake was that he didn't know when to say, no mas, I'm not going to continue to fund this really bad investment.
Why do you think he could not walk away?
He was human, and we all have our flaws and limitations, and there's something called revenge trading, where if you lose money in a stock, you want to win it back the same way, and he just could not control himself. And I think that an underlying theme in this book is that discipline and self-awareness is a lot more important to determining your long-term success than just raw IQ.
Revenge trading.
It's like the worst sequel to a movie ever, you know. Trading. Revenge trading.
Revenge of the trader. Poor Mark Twain.
Yeah, Twain ended up losing an amount of money on that typesetting investment that would be the equivalent today of millions of dollars. But not knowing when to cut your losses is actually not the only lesson that we should take away from the story of Mark Twain's terrible investment record. There's another lesson, which is that you can be amazing, world-class at this one thing, just like Mark Twain obviously was at writing, and still be terrible, horrible, hopeless at another completely different walk of life, like investing.
Or that you can be really bad at investing and still be a really wonderful human being, a light in the world, a gift to the country, all those things, and just...
I like that. Change the perspective. Very nice.
Right. And just like, just maybe just, you know, put it in index funds. Twain should just put it in index funds. Next up, the Oracle from Omaha himself, Warren Buffett. Buffett runs Berkshire Hathaway, a huge conglomerate that buys other companies and hopes that they'll go up in value. They usually do. Buffett is widely considered to be one of the best investors of all time. Ever since Buffett took over Berkshire Hathaway in 1965, its stock has grown almost 21% a year. So if you had invested $10,000 in Berkshire back in the day, you would now have nearly $200 million. The guy knows what he's doing.
Wish I'd been around back then.
I know, right?
And yet, throughout that time, Buffett has also made a lot of mistakes. And there's one mistake that Buffett made back in 1993 that really stands out. And it's the mistake that Michael attributes to Buffett's overconfidence at the time.
So what he did was he bought a company called Dexter Shoes, and he was quite certain in his ability to analyze this company because he had been very successful with previous acquisitions of shoe companies. So he had other experience to draw on, things were going well. But his big mistake, one that he certainly learned from, was that he paid for this company with shares of Berkshire Hathaway. So at the time of the purchase, he paid $433 million in stock for Dexter Shoes,
all in shares
of Berkshire Hathaway. And that was a long time ago. And of course, Berkshire has done quite well since then. So that $433 million today is worth $6 billion.
Dexter Shoes was a company based in the U.S. I had actually never heard of it, which might have been part of the problem. And apparently it started facing competition from cheaper imported shoes. And according to a biography about Buffett, he thought the demand for those imported shoes would fade away. He thought, you know, it's a blip. He was wrong.
Yeah, just because Buffett's other investment in a shoe company was doing well didn't mean that Buffett was an expert in the shoe business. Still, Michael says there's another lesson from Buffett's mistake here. It's that when you get something wrong, you should admit it, because that helps you remember the mistake and hopefully learn from it.
He had plenty of other mistakes, but he didn't shy away from them. He was very open about his mistakes, and he understands that this is just part of the game. People tend to only remember their winners, and their losing investments just get locked away forever. I think that's, obviously a really, really bad approach. To lack self-awareness and to be delusional is very dangerous as an investor.
And finally, John Maynard Keynes.
Woohoo!
With a bullet. Keynes is, of course, known to be one of the great economists of all time. But he also invested money. He invested on behalf of the Endowment Fund for King's College of Cambridge University from 1921 to 1946.
And for the first decade or so, Keynes' investments were not great. They underperformed the rest of the market, and the reason was that Keynes was trying to make investments based on what he thought the economy would do in the future. In other words, Keynes' investments were relying on his genius as an economist.
So he got destroyed during the Great Depression. Like many other people did. He was not...
His investments.
Yeah, he was not an outlier. He had a fund, and it just did horribly.
So Keynes completely changed his strategy.
So what he did was he shifted from a top-down to a bottom-up approach. And a bottom-up approach is saying, you know what? I don't know how interest rates are going to affect Apple's stock or its bonds or whatever, but I can study the business. I can see its cash flow. I can see how many iPhones are being sold versus last quarter. And so that's what he did. He
was a grassroots looking at the company, kind of like from the...
Right. So instead of looking at all of the pieces of the economy on the macro side, he went micro, looking at the individual companies. So to have the mental flexibility to do that really, really, really was incredible.
And specifically, Keynes shifted the fund's portfolio into stocks and away from bonds and real estate. And he did this because he realized that stocks at the time were undervalued. And this was a radical strategy at that time. Not only that, but Keynes himself turned out to be really good at just picking individual stocks.
And from then on, Keynes beat the market. He beat the market by a lot. He beat the market by so much that it easily made up for those early years when he was underperforming the market.
And Michael says there's a lesson in humility here. Even though Keynes himself was not known for being a humble man or anywhere in the village of humble, still, he had enough humility to look at his mistakes and to apply some flexibility to his thinking.
Michael's main point is not that you should take away the specific lessons from the mistakes made by these super smart, super famous people. It's just to realize that if they made a lot of mistakes, so will you. So don't just learn from their mistakes. Be ready to learn from your own.
Hi, I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of the podcast Hidden Brain. This summer, we're sharing a series about reinventing yourself. We call it You 2.0. Add us to your summer listening for ideas about responding to life's messiness and chaos with wisdom.